Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
On the show with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And remotely from Honduras, Mark Edge.
O.J. Simpson died.
Okay.
Do you know him at all?
I never met him. I know who he is.
Oh, yeah.
I had a blue Ford Bronco. And you know, in like 1997 to like 2002. So all my buddies were like, man, you really need to paint that thing white.
Oh, is that part of like the Nicole murder trial?
No, that was the, so he tried to outrun the cops.
Oh.
I don't know if he really tried to outrun the cops. A Bronco, a Ford Bronco, like they don't make them. Well, they make like what they make now is totally different. But the Ford Bronco back in the day, which they called the old body style bull nose, you know, Ford truck platform, was basically like a pickup truck station wagon.
Weird.
That, you know, like a Suburban or a Chevy Tahoe, you know, would be considered.
Oh, okay.
They're basically pickup trucks with, but station wagons. And you're not going to outrun cops. You're just not. They don't handle well.
Some totally other case?
No, that was like incident? When they were coming after him, there was all footage when I was in high school of this white Ford Bronco.
White.
That's right, white Ford Bronco, and he wasn't stopping for the cops. I don't think he was going like really fast. I don't really remember, but
Now they called it a slow speed chase.
Right.
But it was, you're saying it was related to the Nicole Brown murder thing.
Right.
Like when they finally came after him.
Think so. Yeah. When it came to arrest
interesting.
Him.
I wouldn't want my car to be associated with that either. All I really know about him, he's really funny in the Naked Gun movies. Those are hilarious. And then he had Kim Kardashian's dad for a lawyer, and he got off his murder charges. That's all I know. Honestly, I don't know what sport he played. Do you
football.
Guys? Football? Football? Honestly, I thought it was basketball, but see, I just don't care about that stuff at all.
He was also pretty, I believe he was in the Hangover movies. I don't know if you've seen them.
I saw them in like high school, and I don't remember. He was in those too?
Oh, no. That's Mike Tyson that was in those. I'm sorry. I'm getting these guys screwed up. OJ.
He's really funny in The Naked Gun because he plays a cop that's just like so dumb and like gets into like kind of ridiculous slapstick things. Like he's, you know, stuck to the back of a car while Leslie Nielsen is driving it all crazy like across the country at one point. He's just like, just like silly slapstick stuff like that. I just love those movies because they portray cops how cops should be portrayed, just like bumbling idiots.
I mean, you would prefer that rather than, you know, sociopaths and psychopaths that, you know, get a dopamine hit from making people miserable and, you know, and you know, asserting their authority.
Yeah. Those people are ridiculous. So
I can say this about police. I'm, I would be a lot bigger fans if I didn't see their power get abused against my business and my friends and my business partners far more times than once.
Yep.
I agree. And
as I've seen, is police officers against my family have chosen not to enforce the law to protect my kid. That they just, you know, decided, no, it's fine. You know, somebody can threaten you and that's okay.
Yep.
And because they didn't like my business partner.
Yep.
That's what I saw.
And an update on your business partner, my husband, Ian. I didn't get to talk to him today because of the fact that the phone system for this new jail is just so crappy. It's so much worse. So I accidentally didn't answer his phone call today and he only got to call me once. So I was crying and upset. And it was really annoying because it's just like he only gets one chance to talk to me right now because he's just like he's being quarantined or whatever. Whenever you get to new jail, I don't even think it's a COVID thing. I think it's a normal thing. Then you're alone for like at least a week in a cell by yourself.
Wow.
And what'd you say?
I said, wow.
Yeah.
Not my experience, but
maybe it is
a
COVID thing. I didn't know much about jail until I met Ian, which was after COVID. And, he is alone in a cell for 23 hours a day, and he asked if he could request like what hour, and they were like, no, you come out when we tell you you can come out. And he didn't have a book yesterday, but obviously I haven't talked to him at all today, so I don't know if he has a book or anything. Like, he has nothing but a stupid jail cell. And it's just like really messed up. And then Aria told me that things probably are just going to get worse because she said that in her prison right now, the phone systems are just, quote, down.
And I can tell you a lot of people in rural areas where the cops are quite literally family men are not having sort of the same, you know, the same problems. So, you know, there's a difference. And it's just like your people who, you know, are living on top of each other in condos and in apartment buildings, you know, in the cities versus, you know, people who are living on 10 or 15 acres.
It's just not very,
it's a totally different culture, whether you're the cop or you're just an average Joe.
It doesn't, like, convince me to change my mind about cops at all, that they don't harm people in certain ways sometimes. Like, oh, I could see myself getting my kids taken away and I have kids and I care about that. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't make me praise them at their feet or something, considering they'll think nothing to violate other people's rights in different ways. Like, they're probably out there arresting people at least weekly over drug stuff. And then there's people in the prisons for having marijuana, and they're probably like, I'm a family man. I'm not going to take your kids away, but I'm sitting in this parking lot waiting for this 18-year-old to come try to sell drugs to me so I can frame him and go put him in a prison cell, ruin his life, ruin his parents' life. Whatever it is, doesn't have to just be drugs.
Cops are the, you know, they are the enforcement mechanism for whatever the status quo is. And what I found is that we aren't a nation of laws and haven't been. I couldn't tell you since when, but we aren't now. And so using the term law enforcement officer is a rather, you know, liberal use of the term as far as I'm concerned. I do think that good, smart people choose to become law enforcement officers. However, I think that what they're doing is joining a system which is not designed to promote justice or peace or, frankly, much good. So that's my feeling on it.
And that's basically why I think none of them, not even one of them, are moral, because it's just, it takes 5 seconds to research what you're getting into and realize what you're swearing to do, like all of the laws that you're swearing to enforce, and realize that it's just like, it's not a good system. You're upholding the whole system when you're joining it, and even if you're just like, I'm gonna just only do things that I think are good, well, you're agreeing to make other people do things that you think are bad, or make other people stop doing things that you think are bad. And that is immorality. Immorality is controlling other people and doing things to them that they don't want you to do. If somebody doesn't want you to stop them from smoking weed, even if you think it's really bad, and of course that's just like the easiest thing that comes to mind. It's so freaking plain and obvious to me that it's immoral to stop somebody from putting a substance in their body that they don't want. So, like, that's just the thing that I always go to. It's not like it's like, oh my God, the most important thing is being able to put marijuana in your body. I don't even smoke marijuana. I don't even necessarily recommend it anymore, honestly. So it's like, that's not the point. I'm just making a point. Like, this is what they do all day and night. Most of the people Ian talked to in the jail where he was in when I was, like, able to talk to him were in there for drugs. And half the time it's, they got caught in a, you know, whatever kind of operation you call that. Yeah, sting.
Yep.
So it's like, not only are these people arresting people for a quote-unquote crime that isn't a crime because you should be able to put whatever substance you want in your body that you should put in your body, but they're also creating these situations where people end up like getting caught doing things or they weren't actually causing a problem. It's not like they were like in Walmart tearing things up because they're on some kind of meth rampage and the cops came and stopped them. No, they had to be like met on Facebook by a cop looking for someone that looks like they do meth and then convinced to come meet them in a parking lot. And then the cop goes home with all the money he stole from you for doing that. It's just like, why do we need this? I don't need it. I would love to just opt out of having these people in my life, and then I wouldn't call them stupid. I wouldn't be mean to them and hurt their stupid feelings and make everybody whose dad is a cop want to cry. Just don't make me pay for your stupid idiot dad, and don't put people in jail for things like not filling out paperwork or having a gun without a serial number on it or whatever. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys, this is Aaron in New Orleans, listening on WGSO AM.
Thank you, Aaron. What's on your mind?
Thank you. Okay. Hey, with the 2024 election coming up, well, let me just start by saying I voted for Trump twice, okay? But I'm having some serious doubts this time. And I wanted to see what you guys think about Ukraine funding. I'm all for it. I mean, I don't think there's any way in the world we can let Ukraine get turned over to Russia. But as you see what the GOP is doing in the House, and my understanding is being led by Donald Trump to stall the funding. And every day the funding gets stalled, that means, you know, Ukraine's losing ground. And this is all because of the 2024 election. It's all because of the 2020 impeachment. And the GOP wants to give Joe Biden another loss before the election, like he lost Afghanistan, right? They want to give him another one to say, well, look, you lost Afghanistan and Ukraine, but they are doing it by holding up the funding for it. They're upset about these backroom deals that the Democrats and their family members had with Ukraine, and I understand that, but we cannot turn over. I'm not ready to turn over an entire nation and an entire culture over to Russia over one man and one election. I won't do it. So I'd like to get your take on it also.
Well, my take on it is, when you say this is all happening because of the election, no, the war in Ukraine is happening because a company called Burisma and many other corrupt officials have bought and paid for the Biden administration time and time again. And also, the people of the Luhansk and Donbass region of the Russian-Ukraine area decided they didn't want to be in with Ukraine and they wanted to be part of Russia. And then when that happened, so since 2012, they decided this, I guess, and since 2014, Ukraine, with the backing of the United States and other, you know, nations that are supporting, you know, the Ukrainian, you know, crime regime, whatever is running it there, Zelensky and those guys, they've been shelling the Luhansk and Donbass region since 2014. And then those people, that region, they were like, Russia, Putin, please help us. That is what's going on there. Ukraine is also, it is very well documented, Ukraine is run by a bunch of pedophiles and Nazis. If
you mean
gay,
like the government, yeah.
The government. Now, the people of Ukraine, that's a different story. It's just like same thing with the Israel. The Israeli government is corrupt to the core, is rotten, and is diabolical, just like the Ukrainian government, just like the American government.
The other thing is, like, the culture isn't like that different. Like, my great-grandma was from Ukraine, and she just considered herself Russian. Like, they just were Russian back then, and that's not that long ago. Like,
the thing is
Luhansk,
and Ukraine has been a massive, massive, massive money laundering scheme for what I refer to as a pedophile left. You know, all the this Biden administration and all these other guys are pedophile elite, really, is what it should be called. But they and it's just, you know, the amount of money that's gone to Ukraine, I think it's ridiculous. And a lot of people are, and a lot of young people especially, you know, you can't look at a TikTok video or a YouTube anything without someone complaining about how they can't make a living, some Gen Zer, because...
Yeah, and like, we're just giving it to people in another country. The thing about it is, like, I find it sad whenever anyone like supports either side of a war. Like, I don't want Russian youth to die. I don't want Ukrainian youth to die. I find it really sad. But those people, the government leaders in both of those countries are choosing to do that to each other, and I don't want to be involved in giving any money for either side to kill the other side. And the other thing about it is, I don't want money to be taken from other poor people in America to be given to either side of that either.
And it's money taken from poor people in America, and it's given to the uber wealthy in Ukraine.
Yep,
and
that's how it always works.
Poor people.
That's how it always works whenever the United States gives money to another country, like a poor country. It's just going to the rich people in that poor country.
Foreign aid.
And the other thing about like, I don't own Ukraine, so how could I give Ukraine to Russia? No, you don't own Ukraine. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not truly trying to be, like, mean or something, but let's just get literal about the way we're talking. Like you said, I'm not going to give this country to Russia. Ricky from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Ricky, haven't heard from you in a while. What's on your mind?
Well, thank you there, Miss Bonnie. It's good to hear the sound of your voice.
Yay.
Brother Jay and Brother Mark, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Well, I always keep my promises. Brother Mark, I need your technical abilities for a moment there. Could you pull up said oath that a representative here in Pennsylvania has to recite?
No.
So,
sure, give me a minute.
I'll get back to that
just a second.
A little bit about oaths.
Go ahead there, Jay.
So in Massachusetts, what we did is we did records requests for oath of office for a handful of district court judges, a handful of state troopers, a handful of town cops, prosecutors, and judges at the only oaths that we could find were the Supreme Judicial Court judges. That's it. So the prosecutors and the judges had these oath cards that were in the John Jay building in Boston, the John Adams building in Boston, which is the Supreme Court of New Massachusetts. And they were oath cards there for lawyers, prosecutors, judges, but none of them were signed. And there's a MGL 238, you know, Massachusetts general law says that these, you know, are to be sworn and subscribed. It's supposed to be signed. None of them are signed. The local cops, they produced signed oaths of office. So it was the Palmer Police actually had signed oath of office. But the state troopers, none of them had a signed oath of office. In fact, the only response that we got, public records request, as they call it down there, was denied because they said it didn't have any oath for these, you know, couple of cops that we were looking for. Now, what I've also found out in New Hampshire is you have Division of Children, Youth, and Families. Social workers have no oath of office, and they take children. The director of Children, Youth, and Families, no oath of office. The director of Health and Human Services, from what I understand, no oath of office. And the response I got back was state employees are not required to have an oath of office.
And that was New Hampshire, right?
That was New Hampshire, yep.
Why do you ask, Ricky?
I'm going to get to Mark in a minute. But I will say, I don't know about troopers, but I do know Commonwealth cops here in Pennsylvania. They raise their left hand and swear on their honor to tell the truth
their
and uphold
hand?
The law of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, wherever they may go.
Isn't it supposed to be your right hand?
I do know that. Well, in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth cops, they raise their left hand.
Why? That's so backwards and weird.
I don't have an answer to that one, Miss Bonnie. If I did, I would tell you.
Interesting.
It's true, though. But now on the business at hand, Brother Mark, would you happen to have said oath?
Yes, I do. I'm ready to read it.
Could you recite that for me?
I do solemnly swear or affirm, since it's Pennsylvania, that I will support, it says or affirm, Quakers don't swear. So it's Pennsylvania.
Oh,
so
that's why they say that. Hmm.
That I will support, obey, and defend the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of this Commonwealth, and that I will discharge the duties of my office with fidelity. And then it talks about...
Right. Now, here's my answer to this. Now, of course, I have no problem supporting matters in the Commonwealth. And if anything, I would have to relay things that are not with when it's something in my district that's a federal matter. I would have to describe that, you know, give that over to Cartwright, who would be the current congressman. I don't have a problem doing that. So that's where that crap come in. But the important thing is when it talks about discharging my duties with my office with fidelity. Now, the only way that I could properly do that, okay, and leave said office would be to blow the U.S. Constitution away with a clear conscience. So I don't have a problem taking said oath, you know, and I stand up against tyranny. I mean, I wear a battle flag.
What do you mean by...
Right now we're dealing with a tyrannical government.
What do you mean that you would take an oath to the Constitution and then blow it away? Why would you even take the oath then?
Well, see, you got to understand. You see, there's nothing in the U.S. Constitution that says you can't blow it away, so I can.
Hmm.
And also, all I have to do is just funnel people over to the Fed, you know, if it's something that's not a matter that my district would handle. Anybody that, you know, you can understand it. Now, discharging my office duties with fidelity. The only way, Ricky from the Commonwealth, the way that he talks, and you heard me talk enough, and what I'm going to run my whole campaign on, what people are supporting me on, would be to do what I say I would do, be the catalyst to make said Constitution go bye-bye. You know, and for somewhere like Pennsylvania, who has 8.3 million people, in a very rapid fashion become one of the wealthiest countries in the world. Now, I know there's going to be problems. I'm sure the first thing that will happen, and I know that by the time I would get in, Biden's going to be a relic. He's not going to be president. If Trump wins, he wouldn't be president.
And what year are you running?
You know? I'm running in 2025 for 2026, so I wouldn't even get sworn
Biden's
in until 2027.
Dave Ridley, you're on Free Talk Live. You're from here in New Hampshire with us, too. What's on your mind, Dave Ridley?
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about a case where a cop was fired, which is kind of rare, or at least he was maybe a little bit more complicated than that. They were going to terminate him, and I guess there was a negotiated solution, which involved in him not working for the police department anymore. This is an article in indepthnh.org. It's a Republican state rep, John Stone, who was, it looks like he was fired in the 2006 era, or, you know, again, the quasi-fired, whatever you want to call it. The problem here, I mean, there's all these claims that the police department is making, and everybody's innocent until proven guilty, but the police department internal report accused him of threatening a mass shooting, according to InDepthNH. And what happened was, around that time, they did get rid of him in some form or fashion, but there was a negotiated settlement, which I guess partially involved not releasing some of his records or something like that. And so it took, there's been Supreme Court. It's been a Supreme Court case over this, people trying to find out what happened, what was going on in his records. It took until this year for the records to be released as to why the police department had a problem with him.
And so do you know what exactly it was that caused him to threaten, allegedly, to do a mass shooting and also to rape people? Like, he threatened to rape, like, one of the other police officers' wives or something like that. Do you remember, or do you happen to know what allegedly made him say that?
Went to prison for something even less than that.
That just occurred to me. That just occurred to me that that's somewhat like what sent Cantwell to prison. So that's Chris Cantwell. So Dave, do you know why he said that? Like, what caused him to say that? That's the like piece of information I haven't figured out yet.
According to InDepthNH, the police department was investigating him. They were claiming he was having an inappropriate relationship with a 16-year-old. Again, it's just a police department claim. He was never convicted of any of this stuff. And I'm not as concerned about what the allegations were, because they're, as far as I'm concerned, they're just allegations. I'm more concerned that it took so long for us to know that the allegations were made.
Yeah, they can say whatever they want in this circumstance, but they're only saying it now, how many years later?
Well, again, it looks like most of this unfolded in 2006. The article is not completely clear. It keeps
2006?
Mentioning 2006 when the investigation was going on in 2006. I don't think the article says he was fired that year. I'm not sure exactly if it was 2006 or maybe shortly after that. But we're supposed to be able to know what our government's doing, both what the police department is doing and what the target of the investigation. If he's a cop, we're supposed to know what they're investigating and what's in his personnel file and stuff like that. It's all supposed to be public record, isn't it?
Well, I think it should be, but for whatever reason, it wasn't up until this year. Like, they just now made it to where you can get all of the disciplinary stuff in a FOIA request. That happened like this year. So for whatever, I'm not saying like, oh, that's right. Like, it should have been open and transparent and everything the whole time, according to our own New Hampshire constitution. But it wasn't until this year. So maybe that's why it's only coming out now.
Could be. But I think he's making a very good point, which is to say that it isn't a government of we the people if we don't have the information. right? So this guy was a duly elected state representative by a majority of the people who chose to go out and vote in his given district. And would they have chosen to vote him in as a representative had they had this information that was withheld for whatever reason by his police department, his employer?
I didn't realize that he was a representative afterwards, too.
Isn't that right, Dave?
Well, I got the impression from the article that he is a sitting state rep.
Still is. So, but I don't think that anyone has answered my question yet. I haven't read really deeply in about any of this, but one thing that I don't think has been answered is what caused him, just the fact that he was getting investigated made him say that. Like, I want to know what happened right before he said that. You see what I'm saying? Like, did somebody go like go get in his face and say like, you're going down, and then he did it? Like, is there any rumor about why he said, I'm going to rape your wife and do a mass shooting? Like, that's kind of my question. Like, I don't think just, oh, well, no, he was being investigated.
We'll never know, right? Like, we're not allowed to go into the police department and film their interactions with each other. I can tell you, I can name some quotes from the article. Again, these are just officers saying things here, but this is it says, quote, if he gets fired, people are afraid he will go postal. Then Claremont Detective Jesse Vezina told Casey, subquote, he makes me nervous as far as after a confrontation with him, he may try to do something to my wife or family, unquote.
Interesting news I found on dailystar.co.uk says Mexico's most dangerous drug cartel is using AI to expand its criminal empire. And I really want to know how and why. It says the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. I didn't know they had like names like that. Like, we're the Jalisco New Generation Cartel. What? I wonder if it's actually English, like there, if they say like Nuevo Generacion or something. I don't know. The Jalisco New Generation Cartel has been named by Interpol, among other organized crime groups, in a report into how gangs are harnessing AI to expand their illicit operations. It says Mexico's most dangerous drug cartel is thought to be using artificial AI to expand its criminal empire. The Jalisco New Generation Cartel, it's just repeating the title. So yeah, they're using AI.
It's probably written by AI.
Probably. According to Interpol, so we're going to call it the CJNG, the Jalisco New Generation Cartel, and other organized crime groups are pulling off more sophisticated and professional fraud campaigns using AI, large language models, and cryptocurrencies. They've probably been doing the same kind of stuff with cash, too, but anyways.
Yeah, I doubt very seriously that cryptocurrencies have managed to slip by gangs up until now. It seems like, you know, they would have been on somebody who has $100 bills in a room and has a problem with rats eating the $100 bills is probably going to jump on cryptocurrency pretty quick, right?
Like, that happens?
I would guess that. Yeah. There's some stories of, I think it was Pablo Escobar, one of these guys, with so much money in a room, the rats were eating it and making bedding out of it.
Oh, no. That's kind of funny, honestly.
It's a crazy story. But of course, they're going to be into cryptocurrency. Sure.
Yeah, they probably already were into cryptocurrency. Says Interpol's global financial fraud assessment also found that human trafficking is being expanded across the globe for the purpose of forced criminality in call centers. I guess that means like, it says trafficked people are being used to conduct so-called pig butchering investment scams with crypto. What does any of this mean?
Well, it sounds like they're calling people up. Ring, ring. We've got an investment thing that includes, we've got an investment for you. It includes pig butchering. I don't know. And if you want to be involved, send us some cryptocurrency. And I mean, you know, if you send cryptocurrency to somebody who rang you up on the phone over a pig butchering scam.
What does that mean? What's a pig butchering scam?
I don't know. I've never heard of the scam particularly, but I know what pig butchering is.
Well, commercial pig butchering, where you can buy these, you know, garbage-fed hogs at market for, you know, very inexpensive, like cheaper than the cost that, you know, you could feed one in your backyard. you only take the best cuts out of the pig and just throw the rest in a rendering tank, to where, you know, 100 years ago, you didn't throw any of the pig away because you didn't have government subsidized, you know, garbage fed pigs 100 sure. years ago, and you wanted that fat for cooking. That, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, you know, when you talk, look at modern day pig butchering.
I don't know if it's a name that they give it, like based on something like actual pig butchering, or here, this is from justice.gov. So like the attorney, United States Attorney's Office, that's from Massachusetts. It says in the spring of 2023, an investigation began into a pig butchering fraud schemes targeting a Massachusetts resident. In a pig butchering scheme, scammers obtain funds from victims using manipulative tactics. The scammer establishes a level of trust with a victim in online communications and then entices the victim into investing in fraudulent cryptocurrency scheme. Often, the victim is enticed to make additional payments before realizing they're the victim of the fraud. The butchering or slaughtering of the victim occurs once the victim's assets are stolen by the criminals, ultimately causing the victim financial and emotional harm. Perpetrators behind pig butchering fraud schemes are often located overseas. I don't understand. Like, how is this different than any other scheme?
Just sounds like a scam. And they've got a particular type of scam, and then they've got a name for it called pig butchering. So it doesn't have anything to do with pigs.
All right.
But it sounds like one of these where it's like, hey, we're the IRS, and you owe us money. You're going to have to pay in Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners. This is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Tony, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on Free Talk Live? It's Tony, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. I have a question for all three of you, and I can take the answer off air because I'm a truck driver and might lose you. But the question is, I know how you guys feel about cops. How do you guys feel about game wardens or game rangers or whatever, you know, the wildlife people that, you know, take care of the wildlife, and they're also police officers? They can do both. How do you guys feel about that? I don't think I've ever heard you guys talk about that.
So game wardens,
I'll take it.
Don't know much about them, so go ahead, Mark.
I've had a lot
so
of.
So I remember in high school that the game warden or even the Marine Patrol, that my high school teacher described these guys as judge, jury, and executioner, that they could do whatever they wanted if they basically thought that a crime had been committed. And again, I know these, I've met people who do this stuff, and they're very reasonable guys. They come from the same culture that I come from. I get what they do. But anybody who, you know, is described as judge, jury, and executioner by the people whom they serve is probably, is going to have incentives to act badly.
That's breaching due process.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't even know that due process works in their line of work. But nonetheless, that's...
It's under the Constitution.
My experience is it set up bad incentives, expect bad behavior.
Hmm.
So what I got to say about these guys, so in New York State, they were called ENCON, Environmental Conservative Police. Massachusetts, they are... What did they call them, Massachusetts? They wear all green. They drive like these F-150s.
Rangers or something? Is that the same thing?
Nah, they didn't call them rangers. Okay. Park rangers are federal guys. But where I grew up, Massachusetts, they chase us around on our dirt bikes all the time. And they would... I remember some dirt bikes were getting chased. And then and these four-wheelers were coming up in the woods. And I was on horses. There was four or five of us on horses. And... I could see the four-wheeler. I knew that the four-wheeler were the environmental cops. And I think they were called environmental cops, but basically the game warden, same thing. And so we just blocked the trail so the guys on their dirt bikes would get away. And we were like, you need to shut those off. Our horses are scared. And, you know, there was really nothing they could do. Hmm. We were on horses. But they were wicked a-holes. In fact, I know about a year ago, there was a guy in Massachusetts. He's got like 20 acres. and him and his kids were all riding their dirt bikes on their property. I forget what town this was in. It was somewhere like right in central Mass and around Spencer, Mass. And the environmental cop, the ATV police, they call him, he ended up like arresting the guy, his kids, and seizing all of the ATVs. Tow truck shows up, gets them towed. You know, and these towing companies are just as corrupt as the cops. You know, they all just play ball, you know, to make revenue and to make a living. And it was all on private property, 100% private property. These cops trespass on property. And it took the guy, like, he still, from what I understand, hasn't gotten his motorcycles back. He's still in court. You know, this was a couple of years ago. And it was all on private property. But yeah, these guys are real authoritarian a-holes.
Hmm.
And I was fishing once in Massachusetts. I've never had a fishing license.
Hmm.
And I'm going to do this again.
Shouldn't not have to.
Right. And so this guy says, oh, I'm from the Department of Fisheries and Game or whatever. And I go, okay, what's your problem? And where's your fishing license? And I don't need a license to fish. He goes, these fish belong to the Department of Fish and Game. I'm like, really? Is there a tag on this fish that says property of Department of Fish and Game?
Because
I'm
pretty disgusting.
I'm pretty sure the Great Spirit put these fish here, or Mother Earth, or God, or somebody, but not you.
Yeah.
And not your agency.
Wow.
And he's like, oh, well, you know, we stock all these rivers and ponds and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, all our Massachusetts going on about this stuff.
They stock them, like they put the fish in.
So, yeah, Department of Fisheries and Wildlife, they have a crew where they go, basically, they raise trout. You know, they do it very, very expensively. It's way cheaper to just buy them from a private trout farm. But of course, when the, you know, DCR, I believe it's called, a Division of something resources, I can't remember. But a Department of, well, anyways, it's a Massachusetts thing. But like they're just, yeah, anytime you give somebody this authoritarian power and these special police powers, like, I remember there was a dog officer who told me that she had an open warrant and go on any property in town. Anytime she felt like it. And I said, there's no such thing as an open warrant. Open warrants are,
yeah, what, you know, is that?
Yeah. But that's what she was told in her training. You know, that she can do this stuff.
Well, so but,
yeah.
Just,
yeah. Well, a person who believes that they have an open warrant is certainly likely to act like they have an open warrant, right?
Like, everybody's quote unquote breaking the law because it's just there's too many laws for you to possibly follow them all.
And even if you don't, and even if you don't break the law, they'll convince a jury that you did.
Right, that's so true.
Watch them do it.
Yep, there are too many laws for you to possibly not break them. And then the judge also said to Ian that, well, you didn't break this law, but I could tell that you were purposely doing it to get around. It's like he was following the law too closely.
Ian read the law, obeyed the law, and they went after him because he did.
Yep.
What in the hell?
Yep.
Yeah, and Ghislaine Maxwell's client list, you know,
still remains.
My wife
in their custody.
spent more time. Bonnie spent more time in court fighting a parking ticket than anybody has spent in court fighting charges against, you know, child prostitution, whatever, of this client list of Ghislaine Maxwell, who was, you know, 15 miles north of where I live, you know, hanging out here in New Hampshire.
Yeah, hiding away.
You know, and. You know, it's like, but yeah, it's selective. But Maxwell was someone they could not ignore. There was so much pressure on, you know, to go after her. So, you know, they will eat their own once in a while. But.
When it's just too obvious and they have to, and for all we know, like, that's right.
Well,
a fake person.
One, but where's the client list? That's what I want to know. Who flew on the Lolita Express? Who was there? What's the manifest? Where'd they go?
Also, what were they doing? Because, like, I don't even think that's very clear. I said, what were they doing? Because I don't think that's very clear either. If it was just, oh, Jeffrey Epstein had 18-year-old girlfriends or 17-year-old girlfriends who wanted to be models and agreed to have sex with him for money and apartments, I'm not really angry about that. If it was, oh, there are 11-year-olds being raped on an island, well, I really want to know if that was happening and who was doing it, because that's
disgusting. It's more
disgusting.
Like 14 and 15-year-olds who, you know, we're like probably, you know, needing help in bad situations, low confidence, low self-esteem, grew up in, you know, poor neighborhoods, had, you know, just, you know, probably fished them right out of Child Protective Services. Who knows?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be easy. And, well, and, how do you know that? Like,
Well, I'm speculating. I'm saying, okay. I know. I'm speculating. And then, you know, it's a whole blackmail thing. It's like, you know, so they have these rooms set up where they bring politicians to do things with, you know, 14, 15-year-old girls because they may appear to be looking like they're old enough to, you know, legally consent.
Yep, that happens.
But I'm sure a lot of these politicians know, you know, they're going there to have some fun. Some of them might have shown up there not know what they're going on, been drugged. So they wouldn't make good decisions, and they get them on video. But the result is you got a whole bunch of these, you know, celebritarians, and I call them celebritards, that like Eminem, for example, he endorses Biden. So that what that tells me about Eminem is that there's a video of him somewhere doing something very bad. They have dirt on him. You know, same thing with, you know, P. Diddy. He endorsed Biden. Any celebrity who's endorsing these.
I know people in real life that are dumb enough to actually like Joe Biden.
Well, there are, but when it's someone who's a celebrity and worth millions of dollars, they would be best just not saying anything at all. But I believe that they're pushed and prodded to give these endorsements to people who wouldn't get an endorsement from anybody who's in their right mind.
Well, the other thing, might just be like that their PR is like, this is what you need to do because this is the most popular one. So just say that. And they're like, okay.
Yeah, maybe. And, you know, and even like, you know, Taylor Swift probably. They'd be like, well, the only reason you have your popularity is because we gave it to you. So, you know, this is what you do.
Because Taylor Swift apparently used to be like kind of conservative. Maybe her like PR was like, listen, this isn't popular with the kids nowadays. You need to be leftist. But what were you going to say, Mark?
Yeah, I don't know what happened on the Lolita Express. But here's my guess. If you took, a bunch of American men age 40, 50, 60, and you put them on a plane with a lavish bar, and you started passing out drinks and doing all this kind of thing, you know, you wait until everybody's got about three drinks in them, and then you bring out the young ladies who are supposed to dance and mingle and make everybody feel good. Oh, don't forget that there's several bedrooms down the hall. And these men, whomever they might be, that many of them would be willing to go down the hall to some of those bedrooms with those women. And that many more men would not say anything about that having happened.
You had something you wanted to tell us, an update on the whole situation that happened at the Sununu Detention Center in New Hampshire, which is where a bunch of kids were raped, right?
So right at the union leader, New Hampshire union leader, front page, it says, first YDC civil trial. YDC is Youth Detention Center. Mm-hmm. This is called the Sununu House.
Why isn't the union leader calling it the Sununu Detention Center anymore?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that's literally what it's called.
Right. So the headline is, it was a horrendous nightmare. Former detention worker testifies to culture of violence and abuse at the youth detention center. And this is the Union News saying the culture. And that's what this is. If you are of the predator culture, you go look for places where you can be a predator. And I'm going to read a little bit. This was the first of many trials in which former YDC residents will seek monetary damages over allegations involving 150 staffers from 1960 to 2018. The lawyers represent more than 1,200 clients. Former staffer Karen Lamone was to take the stand. She worked for YDC from 1989-91. It was my experience. It was horrendous nightmare, she said. She noticed boys bashed against door frames, dragged downstairs, locked in rooms, only in their underwear. Other employees called her a rat when she spoke out to supervisors about what she saw, including boys being completely terrified, paralyzed with fear when she would check on them. They would completely push back into the corner, standing up, either crying or staring at me, she testified. Some of the boys shared their experiences of rape in a room called the cage that was used for punishment, Lamone said. Workers are far too rough and far too impatient and viewed the abuse as entertainment, she said. Many reported her concerns to lower level supervisors and then started going to the boss, to the boss's boss, including Superintendent Adams. so anyways, and there's another thing too. They talk about how, she was called a rat, starting to, talk to supervisors.
Like child abuse?
Well, not question, just reporting on it.
Yeah, reporting.
Because everybody's a mandated reporter that works for the state of any kind of abuse. So, and that's another thing, too, is like when cops see abuse, when government agents, state employees see abuse and they don't report it, like that's a crime. Because as a state employee, you agree to these, specific, conditions
rules,
of the job. And it is one of that you're a reporter, but they conveniently, report it. So there was a whole no rat sting. She also testified about, this is a different woman testifies. Elijah Brott testified that complaints were, staffers wearing stickers and putting up posters that read no rats. The supervisors were wearing them, Edelbrott said.
This is one of those things that are so over the top bad and evil, like something seems off about this. Like I've heard people say, like somebody said to me in a chat recently, they're like, I had to tour the Sununu Detention Center 10 years ago for college class I had. They were bragging about how you can pay to rape the children. I was like, what are you talking about? Like, they're just openly saying stuff like that. Like, I didn't really get an answer.
Yeah, they do. It's just like guys like Hunt and Bart, the culture of the pedophile parasite class. Like, you got guys like Hunter Biden who are just making videos and publishing them, of doing this stuff because he grew up in a situation where no matter what
he wouldn't
did,
get in trouble.
He won't get in trouble.
Right.
So this is what the culture of the state employee that is protected by qualified immunity over and over and over again. And also, who wants to work in a youth detention center? Most likely a predator.
Like, I was going to say, it would be so depressing, so sad if you want anything good for children, if you're trying to help them. I feel like it would... You wouldn't last that long if you're actually
this
a good
woman
person.
Didn't last that long. That's why she only worked there for 3 years. Just like Ashley Rosati, who is another whistleblower for DCYF, she only worked there a couple of years because she couldn't tolerate it. She couldn't put up with it.
And that's even suspicious in itself. Like a couple of years, if people were openly torturing kids, and I was like, you guys are getting off on the torture of these kids, I wouldn't be there for 2 years. That seems like ridiculous,
right? In this article, I want to mention some names. So it says here, the men accused of abusing Meehan, and Meehan's a guy who's bringing this tort claim, essentially, or brought this civil claim against the state, include Jeffrey Buskey, Stephen Murphy, James Woodlock, Richard Brown, and Thomas Searles, and Frank Davis. Now, I don't know if any of those guys ring a bell with anybody, but... On March 25th, there was a hearing I attended. You could watch this hearing on YouTube. So the YouTube channel is NH House of Representatives. And then the YouTube description here is House Special Committee on a Division for Children, Youth, and Families, parentheses DCYF, 3/25/2024. At 2 hours and 14 minutes, the committee starts hearing testimony from the public, from the people. It starts with Leah Cushman. And there was a woman named Shelby who gets up in this committee and starts talking. And Shelby broke down crying. She couldn't keep going. But one of the things that Shelby said was that she had a partner who turned out to be a boyfriend of hers. And that partner, that boyfriend of hers, that she was, sounds like he was living with her, was drugging her and raping her. And he was a correctional officer for the state of New Hampshire. And he worked for the youth detention center. I got to get the guy's name. I don't know if he's one of these guys I just named off here out of this newspaper article. But, this newspaper article is going to be entered into the next committee to investigate. I'm going to enter it in as evidence, as an exhibit. What this woman had said outside the hearings, I went out there to listen to her and I wanted to talk to her a little bit, was that this guy claimed PTSD and brought a claim, a workman's comp claim against the state, because people started accusing him of the abuse and the rape. You know, this particular guy, I don't even know his name.
The one that was with Shelby.
One that was with Shelby, yeah. Okay. And if I go through and listen to it, or somebody listens to it, she might even say what his name is, but I am going to figure out what his name is. Because, and she's going to come back and testify again. She's getting herself a little, getting a little practice put back together. But this is, you know, recalling like trauma of your,
yeah.
And like this dude was like raping her kids, I guess, from what I understand, or kids in the house. I'm not exactly sure. And possibly her. It's a little tough to follow. But he got a multi-million-dollar payout through a PTSD claim.
Oh, my goodness.
From the state of New Hampshire.
Just because people were accusing him of doing something he may or may not have been doing?
Right. And she is testifying.
Only a state employee, right?
Right.
Like only a state employee could get a PTSD claim for having abused people.
So the same thing happened with the Ware Police Department. Ware, New Hampshire Police, there's a guy, I believe his name is Kelly, Sergeant Kelly. Dave Ridley is actually pretty versed on this story, but one of my friends, he owns a business in Ware, is really upset about this Kelly situation because he actually has heard the story about Sergeant Kelly from people who are pro-Sergeant Kelly, people who are anti-Sergeant Kelly, all in town. What happened is this Sergeant Kelly set up a drug deal with some guy in a parking lot. The guy showed up to sell Sergeant Kelly like $50 worth of the wrong species of salad, cannabis, marijuana, whatever. And this is the parking lot where Dunkin' Donuts is in Ware, Lancots it's called. And the guy basically got a bad feeling or realized it was an undercover cop or something, the guy who was drug dealer. And he turned around and went the other way and may have ran away, and a cop shot him in the back and killed him. So the guy's family sued the town of Ware for a massive lawsuit. I don't know, hundreds of thousands of dollars the Ware tax slaves had to, pay out. And then what Kelly did, what this cop did, was he did a PTSD claim.
So, Sarah, what's on your mind?
Yes. I just want to bring up that all these popularities in these organic meat, and I went to the grass burger, grass all natural beef burger place, and it was really quite good.
A restaurant near you in Albuquerque?
Yeah.
Do you know the benefits of grass grass fed beef?
Yeah, grass
versus Monsanto corn soybean grain-fed beef? Do you know the benefits?
Or asking Sarah.
Is that what they feed the regular cows? I know that they have hormones in them.
Not everything has hormones in it. So, like here's a misconception. Chicken. They're like, oh, chicken, hormone-free. Nobody puts hormones in chickens anyways. So that's like this greenwashing thing. What they do put in chickens quite a bit on these factory farms is antibiotics, for sure.
Right.
So sort of a problem I have with, like, organic dairy, for example. So organic dairy won't use any dairy farm, won't use any antibiotics. So if you get a dairy cow that gets mastitis, what they do is mastitis is an infection in the teat. And it's very painful. So what you can do is to take care of it really quick. You either put the animal in some stocks, or you can give the animal a local anesthesia in their teat, and you put this like syringe catheter thing right up the teat, and you squirt an antibiotic up there, some kind of, I don't even know what it's called. I don't know if it's penicillin. And then you can give them an antibiotic such as penicillin, or LA-200 is one that's pretty popular in the cattle industry. You can inject it into their muscle, and then the cow gets over it, and the cow, it is fine. Now, that's what they do with, like, most conventional dairies. But if a cow gets mastitis in an organic dairy, basically this cow suffers to death.
Oh, my goodness.
Because it doesn't, they don't always, sometimes they'll come out of it. They'll get over it on their own if you just leave them alone. And a lot of the way they get mastitis is, like, they're, like, like past, you know, a few days, you know, last week we had real warm weather and then it got real cold and we got, you know, 18 inches of snow. And on these big corporate dairy farms, it's really hard to deal with like that kind of stuff. You know, most of these things are in Northeast Colorado and Kansas and upstate New York and whatnot. But grass-fed beef and grain-fed beef, and not all grains are the same, but the grains that they feed in the commercial government-subsidized beef operations is like corn with lots of Roundup sprayed on it, soybean with lots of Roundup sprayed on it. Cotton seed is put in there because cotton seed is a byproduct of cotton harvesting and, you know, cotton processing. All the cotton sprayed with Roundup. So, and that's how you get your government-subsidized crop insurance, is using Monsanto growing practices. So that's the kind of grain that they're feeding cows in commercial feedlots. And what's important about it is the grain versus grass-fed cows in the beef and in the meat and in the milk is your grass-fed cow has much higher rate of what is called of the healthy omega fats. I'm not going to get into the three, that's six, correct, or nine. So it's like something like 5 to 7 times more of the healthy omega fats are in your grass-fed cows. Now, cows are, they have two stomachs. Each stomach has two chambers. I could be a little wrong about what I just said, but it's something, they have multiple chambers. They eat the grass, and they can digest grass very, very well. They're very efficient. You can actually, boil sawdust, from like your sawmill and feed it to cows. And
they will, their stomachs are just that good at breaking stuff down.
And they will break down that cellulose and they will survive. Now your beef is probably going to taste like sawdust if you do that. And and the reason, you know, the commercial food industry, the commercial beef guys, you know, the Omaha steakhouse, you know, wants to finish that cow on corn is because they want to make that steak marbled, and to most people it tastes better. But fatty, the healthy omega fats that are 5 to 7 times more exist in the grass-fed cow milk or beef is really, really nutritiously good for you, to where the ones that are fed the commercial government-subsidized grains, generally in feedlots, which you'll have like 10 or 20,000 cows, you know, in a finish lot in like Greeley, Colorado. Go check out Five Rivers, just a huge feedlot up there. They got like 50,000 head of cattle. Anybody in Northeast Colorado knows what I'm talking about, because when it rains in the summertime, it just stinks like crazy for miles, because, you know, you got a couple 100,000 head of cattle standing around in cow poop, you know, in this area. And so what happens, that stuff, that those cows, the healthy omega fats are very, very low. Now, your unhealthy omega fats, so I think your omega-3s are the healthy, unhealthy. I think your omega-9s are the healthy. I could have that backwards. And the omega-6 are kind of like neutral. And I could have that backwards. But the unhealthy fats pretty much stay the same whether the cow is grass-fed or grain-fed. But the healthy omega fats are just not there to offset the unhealthy ones in your corporate-fed beef.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.